15 more minutes of your time. And of course, when we ask for 15, we love for the Lord to multiply it. Amen. He's in the business of multiplying, you know. So I can only add maybe 5, but he can multiply it by 10. So praise our God. No, I'm not going to hold you that long. But I do want to share this with us this morning. This is the fourth attempt to share this. So I'm just going to go ahead and share it with us this morning. I'm trusting it's going to help us here this morning. Exodus chapter number 16 is where I want to take my text from this morning. And verse number 1, very familiar portion of Scripture about the children of Israel. As you, and I encourage you to go read this story again. This moment of history. It's not just a story. You know, when you go to the library, you can go to different sections of the library and you'll find biographies, autobiographies, fiction, science fiction, and history. Well, if your library puts the Bible somewhere besides the history section, they put it in the wrong section. Because it is the history of God's dealings with mankind. Hallelujah. And that's why what God did for the children of Israel, it's good to understand for our relationship with God today underneath this dispensation of grace. And so in Exodus chapter 16, verse number 1, it says, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt." So 45 days after they've left the land of Egypt, they've come to this particular point in time, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died," and catch this, "had not by the hand of Pharaoh." That's not what they said. It said, "Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Amen. You can be seated again. Praise God. Wow. 45 days into it. What's the past record for the last 45 days? Think about the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt by the high hand of God, the mighty hand of God. The firstborn of Egypt have died. The Passover has been fulfilled and has been given, and they are journeying out of the land of Egypt by the mighty hand of God. They come up to the Red Sea. They encamp there. There they are once again tempted to murmur and complain. And there God performs a mighty miracle for them. Moses stretches out his rod. The sea, the Red Sea parts, and the east wind blows, and a wide cavern, a wide highway is put in the Red Sea. The children of Israel march down through, water on both sides. God takes them all. The miracle of crossing the Red Sea isn't over even when they get to the other side. When they get to the other side, the Egypt and Pharaoh come in after them, and God destroys all the army of Egypt before their very eyes. They take up tambourines. They begin, and you can go back and read this in chapters 14 and 15. They take up tambourines. They begin to praise God. They begin to magnify God. They begin to glorify God. They begin to talk about how great God is, how powerful God is, how providing God is. I mean, they are singing. This host of Israel is singing to get, can you imagine, about 1 million people singing at the top of their lungs, "How great is our God!" That's what was going on. Hallelujah. And then they journey to Mamre. After singing this song, dancing before the Lord, magnifying their God, and saying that God is able to deliver and do anything because He's great. And they come to a place where the waters are bitter, and what do? They begin to murmur and complain again. When the time gets hard, all they can do is grumble and complain. And so Moses finds a tree by the directive of God, throws this limb into the water, and the waters are made sweet. Wow. Yeah, God can take the bitter and make it sweet. He can only do that when we surrender to Him. Woo! Most of the time we're wanting God to make the bitter sweet, but we ain't wanting to lift a finger to change ourselves a bit. Hello, praise God. Let's move on, because this ain't my message. The title of my message is daily. You see it up there, but I ain't got there yet. Praise God. But I will get there before this day is over. Praise God. Rejoice. Amen. And so, trying to make this long story short, He makes the waters sweet. And then they come to Elim, which means palm trees. And there's 70 palm trees, 12 wells of water. And there they set up camp. Wow. Sitting and basking in the goodness of God. And then God said, it's time to move. They go into the wilderness. If I remember correctly, 3 days' journey. They're sitting by the palm trees, 12 wells of water. Everything's going great. I can just envision it in my mind because of their track record thus far. They're sitting in their tents and, man, God is good. The Bible's not telling us this, but, you know, just from what they've already done, you know, your life is an open book. Did you know that? Just from what you've already done, we know what you're going to do next. Just from your track record. You know, habits. Everybody's got habits. And if you're around somebody very long, you pick up on their habits. You know what they're going to do. You know their hand gestures. You know what they're going to say. I mean, you know their little cliches. Well, for the children of Israel, they're sitting in their tents, enjoying the palm trees, enjoying the 12 wells of water, and they're rejoicing again. Why? Because things look like they're going their way. So they're rejoicing. But now they march into the wilderness, headed for Mount Sinai, and they get 3 days into the wilderness, and now they're murmuring and complaining. This time, they're murmuring and complaining against Moses and Aaron. Isn't it amazing words we can say when things ain't going our way? When things aren't going good and things aren't going smooth, here's the children of Israel. They just came away from the Red Sea. Bitter waters made sweet. 12 wells and palm trees. 3 days further, they're ready to do away with Moses and Aaron. Woo! I could preach for an hour right here, but I'm not going to because this is not really what my message is. But then God, once again, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And God says, okay, I'll provide them manna from heaven. And this manna from heaven was a special bread from God because bottom line to it, if I understand correctly from different scholars I've read after, that manna tasted like what you liked best. It just had that, not like, you know, these things you knew, you try new and everybody goes, what did it taste like? And you say, chicken. You know? You ever notice that if you try something, you don't know what it tastes like? Chicken's always the first on the list. Because ain't nothing ever tastes like a ribeye steak except a ribeye steak. I mean, nothing tastes like steak except steak. But there's lots of other things out there. Well, you know, it's kind of like chicken, you know. Praise God. Well, this manna was to provide them all the nourishment they needed, all the strength they needed. Everything they needed was in what God provided. Isn't that awesome? Everything they needed was provided by God. Doesn't that sound like the gospel of Jesus Christ? Doesn't that sound like the Word of God? Everything I need for a victorious Christian life is found right in the manna from heaven. Woo, hallelujah, God's word. And so we see then God gave them a test. He said, I'm going to rain bread from heaven, and I'm going to give them a certain rate they're supposed to get every day. And the day before the Sabbath, they can do double. And of course, this is where daily. God's provisions are daily. God's provision for our life is daily. Everything about God in our relationship with Him is not built on the past, it's built on today. Daily. Daily walking with God. Daily feasting from God's Word. Daily. Lamentations 3 and 22. It says, is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. How many remember the Lord's Prayer? Not. I mean, you don't have to say it all, but remember, and it says, forgive us this day our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Do you realize Jesus Christ was making a provision and bringing a reality that daily you need to survey your life to make sure you haven't trespassed against your God? Because you know just as well as I know that when we launch off into our days, a lot of times we are oblivious to everything except what we're doing. And do you know what the first thing happens if things don't go our way? Same thing as the children of Israel. Yep, you got it, Brother Roy. Big old pity party. Here I am in. It's either a pity party or a frustration time. Just like the children of Israel. This is why even Jesus, when He taught His disciples how to pray, because this is the pattern of prayer, He made provision that I would make sure and survey and take an analysis of my day to make sure I haven't trespassed. And if someone has trespassed or sinned against me, to make sure that I have forgiven them. Because if I haven't done that, then I have trespassed. Praise God. So this is daily. This is not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, not once in a lifetime. Praise God. It's daily. A daily surveying of my life and my situations and what I have done that day, knowing that it's being recorded in heaven, and that if I don't take care of anything I've done wrong that day, it's going to be marked down and stay on that day. You know, if you fail a test in school, we have a retake policy. Aren't you thankful for that from time to time, students? A retake policy. What is that? That means because I have failed, grace has come my way. And I want to make sure I take care of that because I don't want that grade to stay that way. I want it to be a better grade. How was your Friday? How was your Saturday? Oh, here's the hard one. How was your Monday? Woo. Did you make sure at the end of Monday to make sure what you had done that day had not sinned against God? How'd you treat your wife? How'd you treat your husband? How'd you treat your children? How'd you treat your dog? How'd you treat your cat? Some folks say, well, what difference does that make? It makes all the difference in the world. Not because of the dog or the cat, because of the attitude you had towards the dog and the cat. Your attitude, not what they did. I found out most of the time dogs and cats don't do a whole lot. It's us. We just use the dog and the cat to do our frustrations on. Woo! Not everybody does. I understand that. But you get in the picture? It's just a matter of me, my attitude, my mind frame, what I'm thinking about, how everybody else owes me, and it's everybody else's fault. If you're feeling like it's everybody else's fault, I got news for you. It's yours. Well, that's children of Israel. They thought it was Moses and Aaron's fault. So they were hungry. Whoa, you get cranky when you get hungry? Oh my, I'm 15 minutes into this. And dinner's sitting in the kitchen. Woo, we're about to... For the next 15 minutes, there's a test. Praise glory to God. Aren't you glad it ain't 60? Praise God. So I'm going to move on rapidly here. Nehemiah 8:18. I'm going to run through these scriptures, and then we'll dismiss, and we'll go and feast by the things God has provided for us. Also, Nehemiah 8:18, also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. This is Nehemiah, and this is Ezra. Go read those books of Nehemiah and Ezra. You'll find the people stood all day long as he read the word. And they began to weep, and they began to cry because they realized how much they had sinned against God. And there's more scriptures where he said, don't weep, don't cry, but rejoice that God's word has been found, that God's word has been shared, and that you have grace to repent. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 61:8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. See, this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. This is, and I shared this at Bartlesville last Monday night. This is where that time of drudgery, I mean, we come into the house of God. We are blessed by the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the Word of God. And then when we walk out those doors Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we come back for refreshing on Thursday night, when we walk out those doors, it's a time of drudgery. It's a time to perform your vow daily. What God spoke to you in His presence, in His power, in His glory, in your joy, hallelujah, in your time of refreshing, what He spoke to you to do, and you said, yes, come Monday, it's your job to get it done. Don't even ask God, help me, because He already has. Now you just must perform it. Glory. All right, Titus. I want you to count to 10. And then after you counted to 10, I want you to stand up and then sit back down. Okay. Now, did he say, okay, Papa, come over here and help me up? That's what we do most of the time. God says, this is what I want you to do. Come Monday, we're going, God, help me do this. Why? Why do you need help to perform something God's told you to do that is very well within your ability and capability to do? Woo! Daily. Daily walking with God. Daily walking in the Spirit. I've got a whole page of scriptures here, and I'm going to move on. I've done went past the 15 minutes, I promised you. Of course, I told you I'd give you 5. Praise the Lord. And now, Psalms 145, 2. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever. Do you make it a point every day to make sure you praise God? It's good. It's good. I do. I make it a point every day when I get out of bed. When I get out of bed and I walk through the house, I start praising God that I could get out of bed and I'm walking through the house. And especially after a day like yesterday. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I didn't even do that much. Praising God every day. Do you praise God every day? Do you think about God every day? Is God what starts your day? If He is not, you need to start with God every day when you get out of bed. I'm not saying go sit down and read your Bible, though I'll get to that in a minute. I'm just talking about a mind frame. I'm talking about getting out of bed, realizing who gave you this day. My God gave me this day. All of it belongs to Him. He gave me another day. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to praise Him. Hallelujah. You see, glory, glory, glory. You want to keep it fresh every day. That way you don't have a problem praising God. Why? Because you've been practicing all giving God glory, giving God praise, magnifying the Lord. Hallelujah. See, praise, it's not just lifting your hands, and it's not just lifting your voice. True praise, you're lifting your heart. The psalmist said, I'll lift my heart with my hands. You're lifting up what's in your heart. That's what praise is all about. That's what magnifying God's all about. It's what's in your heart. Is it gratitude? Is it thanksgiving? Is it fresh? Is it new? Did you daily keep it alive? Wow. Glory. Who's ever had a goldfish? How many? I've never had one. Well, I take that back. I've had a few minnows. You know, I didn't treat them very right, but they did bring about a bigger fish. Praise the Lord. Do you have to feed a goldfish every day? How many in here go weeks without eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner? All right, what do? Just eat Twinkies? I mean, that's not considered breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I mean, how many regularly go every day without eating anything? Regularly. I mean, everybody does it from time to time. I mean, there's been times I got so busy working I never ate. But physically, we cannot survive without food, nourishment. If there is no spiritual nourishment coming into your life, you will die. You remember what God told Adam and Eve? He said, surely if you eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of good and evil, you shall surely die. But after they ate of it, they looked and they were still walking. They did notice something wrong with the way they looked because they had entered into sin. You see, lack of spiritual nourishment daily will make one weak spiritually. Do you ever wonder why it's so easy to get carnal? So easy to get fleshly? So easy to get critical? So easy to get harsh? So easy to go right back to default the way we were before Jesus Christ came into our lives? Did you ever wonder why it's so easy to do that? Because we haven't learned to live daily in the presence of our God. To live daily in His Word, to live daily with the mind frame this day belongs to Him. Daily, daily, daily. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. This is Proverbs 8. This is talking about wisdom. Wisdom must prevail over feelings. Wisdom must prevail over passions. When you find wisdom, you have found the greatest treasure. Because wisdom is actually what brought you into salvation. When you turn to the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, you had laid hold of wisdom. You realized this is the greatest thing that I could ever do. Woo, the greatest decision I could ever make. That was wisdom. You laid hold of wisdom. But then wisdom must continue to prevail in my life daily. Daily. Ezekiel 46:15. Thus shall they prepare the lamb, the meat offering, the oil, every morning for a continual burnt offering. Praise our God. Daily. There had to be a sacrifice daily. Thank God Jesus Christ has provided the sacrifice forever. But I need to make sure it's on my mind daily. I need to make sure that I know I'm saved by grace and not by my works, lest I should boast. This is the biggest problem to a lot of Christians that have lived a long time. They're putting all their lock, stock, and barrel. That's a financial terminology that I'm not real familiar with. But they're putting everything that they're trusting in on how well they're living. I'm sorry, but there is none of us righteous, no, not one. And Jesus said the pattern of prayer is, forgive me this day my trespasses. That means we've probably had a wrong thought sometime that day. And if that's what you're trusting in, then you've lost sight of how you are saved. And you're thinking you're saved by your behavior. And thus your heart is not really in a right daily relationship with Jesus Christ. And you're trusting in yourself righteousness and not His righteousness. No matter how well you may get a grip on God's Word, you're still saved by grace. No matter how well you may get a grip on God's Word, you're still not going to know it all. Whoa! No matter how well you may get a grip on God's Word, if you're trusting in the grip you got, you're trusting in the wrong thing. Because the only thing and the only thing that we need to grip is we need to get a grip on God's grace so we can keep a right mind frame about who we are and how we are saved and how we stay saved. Hallelujah. Don't misunderstand this, preacher. Unrighteousness is sin. But just because I perform righteousness doesn't mean my heart is right with God. I know lots of people that aren't saved that do great things, do wonderful things, do right things. They're some of the hardest ones to really get saved. I was one of them. But all have come short of the glory of God. So thus it has to be a daily reminder in my mind that I am saved by the cross of Calvary and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if I can keep that on my mind daily, then I'm going to be more of a humble man. I'm going to be more considerate of others' failures. I'm going to be more considerate of how others treat me and forgive them because Jesus forgave me because of how I treated Him. Wow. You see how important it is to daily have your mind renewed with the Word of God and the ways of God and the reality of how you got into the kingdom of God? Luke 9:23, and He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke 11:3, give us day by day our daily bread. Once again, Lord's Prayer. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Why would He say that to Christian people? You ever wondered why they wrote to Christian people and said some of the things they said? Why would anybody that's a Christian want to depart from the living God? Because we get self-willed and selfish a lot of times in our lives. And if we're not careful, we'll just walk right away from God because we think we're right. I won't listen to God at all. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, if you go several days without rebuking yourself, hello, catch that. The deceitfulness of sin, what is that? Is there any sin in this world? Is there any sin in social media? Is there any sin, hang on with me, in the news broadcast? You know, because a lot of people say, it's all right, it's just the news. I'm sorry. Just the news sometimes is not good for you. I like knowledge. I want to know facts, but that's not what they do anymore. Here's the line. We have everything you need to know. I don't want to know what you think I need to know. I want to know everything that's going on, and they don't seem to do that anymore. But there's evil in Walmart. Gas stations. Stop signs. Road rage. Anybody ever been a victim of road rage? I hope you've never been the one that had the road rage. Praise God. There's evil everywhere. Its pressure is everywhere. And if I am not daily renewing my mind, refreshing my mind, pointing my mind towards God, the deceitfulness of sin is going to penetrate the way I think. And it is my responsibility to think according to this. Not according to CNN. Not according to social media. God. Anyway, I got to move on. There is so much influence out there to deprive an individual of true Christianity. That's why you got to be careful and make sure you get in God's Word. Hallelujah. God's Word. Hallelujah. Daily, on a daily basis, lest you have a heart of unbelief. What is unbelief? I'll give you just a simple illustration. Unbelief is when you think you don't have to do it this way. When you think it's all right to do it your way, it's not that bad. Is complaining and murmuring bad? Man, that's a loaded question, isn't it? Whoa. Just automatically, after what we just read, everybody says, well, yeah. Well, depends on... look out now. Look out. It depends on what? I don't find anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says it's okay if they do you bad to do them bad in the realm of grace. I don't find that anywhere in there. But you just don't... Really? It's not a matter whether I understand or not. Do you understand what God's Word says? And if you don't, then you need to get in it and you need to find out exactly what it says, and then that's exactly what you need to be doing in your situation, regardless. Jesus, I've got to stop. Anybody know what the two vertical lines beside a number mean in mathematics? It means absolute value. It means makes no difference what's in between those two vertical lines. It's just that number. Okay? Well, you got to put yourself in between two vertical lines and realize it makes no difference about what's outside those vertical lines. It makes all the difference what's inside those vertical lines, and you're supposed to be a Christian. Our job, a job as a pastor would be easy as could be. We'd have nothing to do if everybody dealt inside before they did anything else. Yeah. Because from the very first rattle out of the box, Adam said, Eve did it. And Eve said, the serpent did it. And God just asked, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? See, he was talking to Adam, he was talking to Eve, and he was talking to the serpent, but he was talking in a personal. And the tendency of sinful man is because. When you start dealing inside the vertical line, you got victory. You got victory, you can bring it to somebody else. Hallelujah. It's contagious when we've got victory. Glory to God, it's contagious when we don't too. That's the sad part of that. Hallelujah. And so we see then, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest sin penetrate the heart and unbelief. In other words, choosing another way besides God's way. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's what he's talking about, our life here on this earth. He calls it a light affliction. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, they've come to pass, they're going to pass away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So every day, I've got to make sure I'm looking towards eternity. Doesn't mean I don't take care of business. Don't mean I don't do my job. Doesn't mean I get so heavenly minded I'm no earthly good. That's really a statement that's not true. Because if you get heavenly minded, you're going to be the best thing this earth's ever had. Hallelujah. Because that's what that scripture just told us to be. Heavenly minded. Keeping our Lord and our Savior in the forefront of our minds and walking for Him on a daily basis. All right, going to close. Live today to the fullest. Remember, it's the first day of the rest of your life. Woo. Do you wake up every day? I'm going to live this day to the fullest. Because this is the first day of the rest of my life. Woo. Glory. Lord, for tomorrow and its needs, I do not pray. Keep me, my God, from stain of sin just for today. Now set a seal upon my lips, for this I pray. Keep me from wrong or idle words just for today. Let me be slow to do my will, prompt to obey, and keep me, guide me, use me, Lord, just for today. Don't misunderstand. We have a vision for Calvary Lighthouse Church. We did a whole calendar of vision for this year. But what I want us to understand is none of that vision will ever come to pass if we don't live just for today. James told us we're not promised tomorrow. Said today, if the Lord will, we'll do such and such. What is that? That's keeping God on our mind every day. Just for today. I don't know if I can make it all the way to the end. Oh, yes, you can. If you will just live for Him while it's today. But what about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Till it becomes today. Understand me. It's not wrong to plan for the future, save for the future. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. We're talking about spiritual renewal and spiritual awareness and walking in the Spirit of God and living the Word of God. And our goal is just doing it today. And then when tomorrow comes and becomes today, I'll do it again. I've got to keep it fresh. I have purposed in my heart many years ago to make my salvation real every day. I am so glad that I am saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and filled with the Spirit of God. That is my goal. My goal is to make sure I'm always glad that I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and that I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And I'm wanting to do His will every day of my life. Is it easy every day? No, it's not easy every day. It's great. It's wonderful when you're in here. Hallelujah. When the Word of God and the Spirit of God and God's just pouring out His blessing. I mean, if you can't live for God in here, whoa, you need something new. But God's not just asking us to live for Him in here. He's wanting us to live for Him out there. To be that voice by our lives. And the greatest way to do that is to keep Him fresh every day. Daily living for Jesus. Daily living for God. Stand with me if you would. I'm closing. Actually, I've closed. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've already come around the altars. We've already been praying. God has already been touching hearts, already been touching lives. But I just wanted to share this with us here this day. Because we've got to get it on our minds that Jesus Christ comes first every day. Every day of our lives, it's Jesus Christ first. Hang on with me. Everybody else second. And me last. If we're not living our lives in that order, we need to make sure we begin to draw nigh to God so God can work that in us Because if I remember correctly, and I can take you to the text, I can take you to the book, the chapter, everything, not at this moment, but I can, where the Bible says, esteem others greater than yourself. What card you going to play on that one, so to speak? Most of the time it's, well, you don't know what they did. It doesn't make any difference. Esteem others greater than yourself. Put them before you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? Jesus took that story, turned it around, and said, are you being a neighbor? It's not a matter of who is my neighbor. It's a matter, am I doing what Christ would do in this given day? One day at a time. Father in heaven, I praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Ghost. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for Sunday school class and what was taught in Sunday school class. I thank you.